Shalom everybody again. We are continuing to the second part of Eris. I sincerely recommend the importance of this lesson. These lessons are the continuity. Interruption, it causes not to have the continuity necessary to understand the energy and apply it. The subject of the tonight, it's really, as we started to discuss, is impulse. What do we mean by impulse?
Reaction.
We are going to discuss it a little bit more, that what is this impulse in creation? Because if we want to really go to a dictionary and get the meaning of the impulse, impelling, it's a push. There is a dynamic to this energy. Produces finite momentum, sudden tendency to react without reflection. That's called impulse. Eris is the secret of impulse. Now there is a Eris in creation as a totality. It's the impulse of creation. There is a Eris, the man. There is Eris, the sign. And then there is the Eris that is within each Shevet, each Bnei Israel. A Jew. His nature. His texture. If you mean by ignition, maybe. I don't want to bring it even that low yet. It's too low. This impulse is God. It's holy. It's the beauty of the creation. Whenever the sign of each one of us, no matter what sign is, comes to Eris, as it's the time or the day, because we said that really the signs apply, 12 signs, 12 hours of the day, 12 hours of the night. So the signs apply during every day. They apply during the week, during the months. So whenever there is Eris, there is an energy of impulse. Not in our control. It's the nature that is in control. And that impulse is there for a very, very good reason. And I like to really take my time to explain this, because when we understand Eris, that his word is I am, what is this I am? Because as soon as this impulse is there, creates the energy of I am. If there is not this energy of Eris, nothing moves. This energy of Eris, this impulse, got to be. We said, on the surface, Eris is very self-confident, extremely. But however, in concealment, in the subconscious, Eris feels inadequate. Eris doesn't feel 100% confidence. It's not very sure. It is the Eris, which is part of his tikkun, his correction. Is that to give strength to his confidence. And why such a lack of confidence under this surface of so much strength and so much energy? It's because he cares very much on the opinion of others. It's very important what the others think about him. Think about her. And because of this dependency, no confidence. And that creates a tikkun of extraordinary difficulty. To overcome this fear within the subconscious. And not to forget, there is an Eris in every one of us, because Eris is the seed of the creation. It's the impulse of the creation. The baby is a baby as soon as the heart goes the first tick. If there is no that impulse, if you don't feel your pulse, as long as the person who is in the hospital and he goes, the heart goes up and down and up and down, as soon as it goes, bzzz, it's adios, goodbye. So it's the impulse. It's the beginning of everything. And Eris is the head of that spear. And it does exist within every one of us. It's a finite power, has a reason. It's not continuous forever. It comes in pulses, bang, 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 and causes, it's finite. And again, the question is, why God created this way? Continues, and he says, because of this energy, there is a negative aspect. You know what? Because of the weakness, a person becomes egoist. What is an egoist? Me, I, and myself. It's very simple. Three of us, we are fine together. We don't need nobody else. That in return brings arrogance. And there is arrogance in Eris. No matter how mature the Eris comes, always under the surface this arrogance exists. Those are the negative aspects of this energy, the impulse. Because it's power. It's a tremendous amount of power. Now imagine that you are connected continuously to this impulse. That's why Eris has so much energy. And this brings Eris to the second aspect of his correction, is to conserve energy. If you look at into the face of Eris usually, it's all banged up, totally banged up. Because of the so much of an energy, if Eris decides to go through this wall, goes through this wall without really taking a little bit time, not rushing, to look, maybe there is a door behind. And goes through the wall. And by the way, goes through the wall. And in trim breaks his face, bleeds. But he goes through the wall. That's why Eris, usually they are very good executives. Excellent executives. They can produce.
Tale.
Oh, yes. Okay. Ask question. That's good. Yeah. You are in good hands. You have good friend. Now, Eris is in the month of Nisan. Really, for this energy to survive with so much arrogance and so much energy and so much selfishness, needs a nest. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that we can harness this energy called impulse. It's every one of us. All the problems we have, all the wrong mistakes that we have done in our life is when we did not harness the energy of this impulse. Whenever we reacted because of this impulse, because we said impulse impends you, literally pushes you to react. And we said the tikkun is not to react, but to reflect and be proactive. And this very much brings us to the parasha of this week. Korach, a powerful man as far as the knowledge of Torah is concerned, a Levi from Kahati, very high standard, capable genius, and the neshama of extremely high value. On top of it, extremely rich, beyond imagination, exaggeration in the amount of gold and whatever this man had. That interim brought him to one point and one impulse. And one impulse, on one impulse, he went after something that did not belong to him. Not only he did not get what did not belong to him, however, lost whatever he had. That's why Zohar HaKadosh says, don't go after something that doesn't belong to you. Because in interim, not only you may not get what you think you're going to get, you will lose what you have. Allow me to go a little bit forward. Now, you push the walls of your consciousness. Not only you pay 100% attention to what I am saying, you keep the questions on the side and not to forget. That's a hell of a good exercise. That's called restriction. That's called telling yourself, come here. You sit down and you are responsible for the following. Me, I'm going to be responsible to pay attention 100%. Self, you will be responsible to record and keep all the questions as the best of your ability. Now you got all three of them involved. Now, tendency to dominate. Because of this impulse. Because when this energy starts going and the adrenaline goes up and you are pushing and you are pushing, you don't have any patience for anybody. You're not ready to wait. You really say, what's the matter with this person? This is, that doesn't understand what I'm thinking, what I'm doing is correct. It's just nuisance. That's, you dominate. You start to rule. In regards to the women, we said women, because the sign of Aries, the energy of Aries is masculine, it's positive, that means it causes you, it pushes you. In the woman, there's something called femininity. There is something called masculinity. Because Aries is aspect of head, and it starts in the head. The behavior of the woman becomes more masculine, more dominating. And because of the tremendous amount of energy, practically loses sensitivity completely. They don't have bad intention. They have the most beautiful heart you can imagine. But they don't have time to get to heart. Listen to what was taught by Chachamim. To go from mind, which is the thought level, to the heart, which is action, because this is the heart that brings the action, how much heart you put in your work. They don't say necessarily the mind, but how much heart you put. Heart is aspect of action. Is approximately 40 centimeters. The longest and most difficult road in creation is to come from mind to heart. Because in between, there is the Pharaoh and the energy of Tameh. We will learn about it. There is three pipes. Pharaoh had three ministers, Sar HaTabachim, Sar HaOfim, Sar HaMishkim. Those are the three pipes that they connect the head into the heart. Sar HaTabachim, Sar HaOfim, Sar HaMishkim, Reshei Tevot, the first letters, Tameh. So everything that goes wants to go from head into the heart to come to the level of action, be sure it is Tameh. What is Tameh? Not holy. What is not holy? Not complete. Crooked. Not complete. Has something missing in it. A good food must have all the ingredients in a balanced way to become delicious food. If something is missing, if the salt missing from the food, and this food must have salt, has the same taste if it would have this? No. Same thing. The thought that is beautiful and complete in the head level has to go through 40 centimeters equal to 40 years the Jews went into desert. What did they learn? They literally went through all this ma'reched, all through these energies, only to bring the thought into a level and a foundation of emet so it will not go wrong. Any thought that is not based on foundation of emet, truth, inevitably, for sure, 100% will go wrong. Will not give you good fruit. But if it is based on emet, and you cannot just say, okay, this is my emet, your truth is not everybody's truth. There is only one truth, and that's the truth of God. And that's why, in order to make a thought complete, has to be based on emet. After you go through all the wisdom and all the understanding, all the yichud, all the lahavdil, all the differentiation, as much as compassion and as much as restrain you, everything, at the end, still you have to check it out. Is this thought is emet, based on emet or not emet? And this requires reflection. And Eris doesn't have time for reflection. No time. Rush. Because the nature is the impulse. Eris works on the impulse, strives on the impulse. And that impulse, in return, makes us believe in our own mind. We are good. We are kind. We have good intention. We really want the best. We totally lose the aspect of sensitivity and regards for others. That's what makes us arrogant and egoist. Because my ego is running the show. I see the whole world through my own small world, because we said every one of us, we create our own small world. And we think that this is the world of the truth. This is the best world that exists. And we said last time, go and find out what kind of a citizens you have in this world of yours. How much truth is established in your world? How much honesty and sensitivity and compassion and love really established in your world? It continues in regards, though the Eris woman is tremendously positive, she has to learn to wield the aspect of the femininity in her being. The energy that she has is masculine, allows you to be dominating, and allows her to be active and push and positive, continuously positive. But yet, she loses this willingness of be a little bit quiet. Be quiet and receptive. Be quiet and be receptive. And that's the tikkun of ladies that are born in Eris. Now, what's the difference, me born in Eris and you that are not born in Eris? Really, my past life, Eris, I say not my, Eris, in his past life or in her past life, had a sign of Libra. A Libra is the balance, and we're going to learn, because God created the creation male and female. They are one. First they were one, but he separated them, male and female. The first 6 months is the aspect of male. And if we see in the Torah, starting from Nisan, God gave Matzah, came from above to below. God gave the Torah in Sivan, from above to below. Everything was from above to below. That's called Zachar. That's called male aspect. Don't forget, in every male, there is a female. But the female is a sleeping female. We will understand that what it means female in the first 6 months and what it means female in the second 6 months. Because the second 6 months is the female aspect. Now, the opposite signs to Eris, the opposite sign, we read in the Torah, to Bereshit, says, God called all the animals that he created, whether it's in the sky or in the water or on the earth, and called Adam. Say, Adam, come here. I want you to look at all those animals and name them. You name them. How can you name an animal? Unless you know the character of animal. God gave such a wisdom of differentiation to Adam, that was able to look at the animals and recognize the characters. Follow what I'm saying, word by word. So he named everybody. And when he got to himself, he recognized that he doesn't have any opposites. Or what does he need the opposite for? Why do I need the opposite for? I cannot understand until I have the two sides. The both sides. The both sides of the same thing. The same coin. I only can recognize, not from one side of the coin. I have to look at the two sides of the coin. So the other side of the coin of Aries is what? Libra. Libra. Now the Libra is the balance. Libra inside is the same as Aries, is water. Outside of Aries is fire. Now Libra is supposed to do what?
Balance.
To balance. To do what? Why is she holding the balance? For what? Why she wants to see the both side? Because the way to understand Aries is to understand, what did I not do in my last previous lifetime as a Libra that now required me to come to the opposite of that sign and learn it? Because I didn't learn it into the actual, I have to see it in the opposite. That's why when he reached to himself, Adam turned around to God, says, how about me? I see all the animals, they are female, male. Where is my aspect of female? I don't see my female. And God put him into sleep. Didn't take from the earth and form a new human being, but took the bone from him. And what is a bone? Bone is aspect of chokhmah, wisdom. Took from wisdom of man. And gave it to the woman, and the woman as a channel became a what? An understanding. Because Bina, because you cannot get a wisdom, and only if you put it with understanding, you can create continuity future. And that's why God created Ezer Kenegdo. What is Ezer Kenegdo? It's an energy that can be opposite to him, like a mirror image, that can help him to see his true self. Now, what is the true self of Aries? He has to go back to Libra, says, okay, what was the characteristic of a Libra? Libra had to see the both sides perfectly and then make a decision. And that's the problem. Libra is very difficult, has a hard time to make decisions. Now watch. Extremely hard time to make decisions. Those that are Libra, we will get there very soon. Because they know the negative side, 50%, the positive side, 50%. Okay, now which one? And they avoid decision. Now God brought him back to the opposite from Libra to Aries. Total impulse. Decision, just like that. And the impulse, in order to understand that when you have to make a decision, but consider two sides, reflect. Now I have double jeopardy. First, I had total capability of balancing and understanding the two sides of the story. I couldn't do it. So God said, okay, now I put you in the opposite position for you to be able to see what you didn't see at first. This is the beginning of understanding how we make our tikkun. That's the beginning of you looking into yourself and look three things, and I'm going to help you in interim. We didn't go through 12 sessions to look at this for a beautiful picture. There is three things the Aries has to absolutely give a strength. For what? To come to a knowledge. Because if you come to a true knowledge that based on Emet, what capability you have? Knowledge brings Yichud. Adam yada et chava, yeda, da'at, brings unification. In this, with this knowledge, I will learn how to lahavdil. What is lahavdil? It's to separate, to differentiate, to recognize the difference. And recognize what is good and what is bad, make a decision and separate. Make a decision and separate. Now, everybody that deals with the impulse, we are not free of impulse. We 99% of the time live with this impulse. We are reactionary people. We react to our energies. We react to our personality that we will get very soon. Because this energy, and I would like to just bring it to a good understanding. I come back to this point. But prior coming to the point of making the first summation, I would like to talk more what it is that Aries has to learn. Because he's not anymore in the sign of Libra, he is now in Aries. But when we make a Gilgul, those aspects, the things that we learned previously, we'll bring it back with ourselves this time to utilize subconsciously. When I was a Libra, I had a tremendous capability of coordination. But now that I am Aries, I don't know how to coordinate. And I have to coordinate. Why do I need coordination? What it means to coordinate?
Organizing.
Tremendous amount of organization. Organization. Why do I need to learn how to organize as an Aries? That's the secret of how to really stop this, control this impulse. Why do I need really to coordinate? For one very reason. Aries has so much energy. This impulse has so much energy. And the Aryan, whether a woman or a male, have so much energy that they exhaust everybody else and still they are going. But in dreams, they burn themselves. They think they are always young and they think that they are always capable. And they think always this energy is going to continue as intense. And they think that the life is going to be always powerful and nothing is going to take it away. Until you suddenly your eyes going to go cockeyed. You don't see ears. And the knees are not anymore the same knees. Somehow it tells you, hey, it's not there anymore. And usually Aries, they bang themselves left and right. They really take the juice out of themselves. And usually when it is too late. And for that reason, the Aries has to coordinate and organize himself and plan himself and organize to such an extent that conserves his energy. A Libra has the wisdom, a total wisdom, of how to take care of herself. But in regards to the Aries, no such a thing, and this has to be learned. Because of, again, this energy of natural impulse that God's given, and we will learn why, Aries gets bored very quickly. Extremely quickly gets bored. And usually doesn't finish projects all the way to the end. They take it, they are good starters, they start, they bring it to a point, and then they get bored and they leave. Another part of the tikkun of Aries is always to make sure that completion. Tumim, which is the hod. To bring it to completion. We're going to go and understand this turn, the totality, more and more. This impulse of life, force of activity, has one simple, has one simple presentation by an animal called lamb, tale. Now, what this lamb really signifies? In the earthy, the lamb is the one that when you take 100 lambs and you bring them to kill them, they are just there, and the total, they are submissive, absolutely submissive, and they see every other animal runs away. And that lamb is there and he looks and they say next, and he's next, and goes through it. But this submissiveness in this lower world is the wrong submissiveness. The lamb that we are discussing in general is the lamb of Isaac. It's the lamb of submitting yourself, totally subjugating yourself to the law of God. You are the lamb of first sacrifice. You are the lamb of sacrifice. That means you are totally, totally, give yourself away for cause of Yichud, for cause of Hashem, with absolutely not considering any consequence profit. Absolutely. A total cancellation. Now, is that hard? How do we do it? Oh, that's what you are asking. Say that again.
I feel like it's the right things to do. Like I'm completely believe in God and I completely believe that he's going to take care of me as long as I'm a good girl, you know.
Okay, what you are doing, that if I am a good girl, I can be assured that I am taken care of.
That's right.
That means you made a deal with God.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a good girl. You make sure that you take care of me.
Exactly.
Don't fool yourself.
No.
Look at around the world. Does good people die?
Yeah.
Does really good people suffer in this world? So where, how he's taking care of me? I thought he's taking care of me.
But you believe in the life after life, right?
So you accept that God is taking care of you, even though that you have a lot of problem and he's badgering you and beat you up.
He's testing me, yeah.
And you don't complain.
Well, inside of myself, yeah, but I'm trying
just a moment. If you're inside of you, you really complain and you're not happy with the situation.
Right.
So what have you done if there is no joy in your heart?
No, maybe he's testing me, right?
Yeah, so why you are not happy?
Because it's hard.
Very good. That's why we have to work on it. The confidence is not a wishy-washy confidence. Confidence is that when he's testing me, I feel the joy as much as I have the highest level of pleasure. That then is true. But if my life is going well and I say, God, I love you, you are the best God I have known, and you are only one, and I know you are going to take care of it, and I'm going to promise you I do my best, I'm going to be a good girl. And the first exam that he makes me, I say, hey, come on, this is too much, and this is not fair. That's my first mistake. My dear friends, I hereby announce, and don't you ever forget, God created this creation, he is God, and he did not create a fair world. There is no fairness. And never excuse that you are not fair. Don't go to your parents and say you are not fair, because there is no such a thing. God did not create this creation based on fairness. It's based on truth, but that doesn't mean fairness.
So it means that you have to...
It's not fair. Otherwise, the lamb was not being torn out by a wolf. But that doesn't mean that I can do something that's not just. We will get there. That the system is there that whatever you plant, you're going to eat. And you better be ready for it. And you cannot avoid it. It is just. But justice is different than fairness. Their fairness doesn't play no rule at all. No role in the whole creation. Absolutely not. Rachamim, mercy is part of the justice. Could be. But not fairness. It says be fair. Judge the person in fairness. If he is rich and it is his right, give him the right. Don't tell him, look, he has $1 billion. So what's if you give him $10,000? Be fair. I mean, you have so much money. Be fair. Give him the $10,000, even though he's not right. That's not fair.
What is fairness?
I don't know. Take it out of your dictionary.
I remember once I asked you about this exactly the same subject, and you told me, should I be vindictive? You cannot judge who is fair and who is not fair, because it's...
Not who is fair or who is not fair. Who is right or who is not right.
I don't have a judgment. You told me that I cannot judge.
That's correct.
I don't have a right to judge, right?
Correct.
So how... It's a little bit opposite, because how am I supposed to protect myself? myself? How am I supposed to, you know, be a...
Very good. Stop it right there. You acquire the knowledge to differentiate between good and bad. That's how you protect yourself. What you don't know hurts you. What you know doesn't hurt you. Remember, it's a lack of knowledge that hurts me, not knowledge. It's a lack of knowledge. Lack of not knowing what I'm saying, what effect it's going to have. That's going to harm me. Let's continue. That's the whole point again. We go back. I do not want to produce and be a factory of luck, thoughts and ideas, just throw them out like a Paycon or like a Chevrolet. No, I'll keep it. Now I tell you, why they call God really brought the whole system of kashrut to be kosher and went a distance. To say, for example, one of the system of being a kosher an animal, the animal has to do what? Eat his own cud. That means bring it up. Eat. Go sit down quietly somewhere. Take the load off your leg. Bring up the whole thing. Now chew it second time. Now swallow it. This is one of the signs of kashrut. What really Torah is teaching me? It says, if you got the impulse and you reacted on your impulse, that means you ate it straight. But if you took the thought, you brought it up again, sit down on the leisure, meditate, slip on it, say, Rega, and chew on it again, then eat it. That's a reflection. That's what the Aries doesn't have. And it's kosher. Same, the thought level. So reflection in this regard is extremely important. There is a gift that God has given us. And I don't use the word God really loosely. When I say God, I mean the creator, the boss. I mean it. It is a gift that he gave us. And that gift we call free will. It's a gift. He can take it any moment from us. Absolutely. A second. He can take this gift. It's enough to look around. He says, why God gave this gift? That when he gives you this impulse, you can exercise the free will. If you use this free will, this impulse, this godly information, this godly energy that really makes you move, makes you powerful, makes you... That's the willpower. That's the ignition. Now I can use the word ignition. That's what makes me move. That point only I have a free will. What I do with the impulse, with the Aries. If I am able to take, because don't forget, what is the planet of Aries? Ma'adim is Mars, is war. What is war? Why do I go to war? Why do I go for confrontation? For one reason. I want something that I don't have. And the other person has. And I want it. Period. No matter what. I go to war. And I never go to war unless I know I become successful. In order to become successful in the war, what I do? I sell my soul. I give all my richness in order to win. I imagine if I put all this energy for sake of becoming binding and becoming similar to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to the Creator, rather than do something and use my free will because I want. because I think I am right, because I got it. And those are all the I that's going to come after this I am. Because after that I say I am, I'm going to say I have, and then I'm going to say I think, and I keep on going the 12 signs. This impulse, when it comes to within us, and there is a house. This impulse comes within the body and the mind of the person. It triggers. Who's going to capture this energy? Who is going to be the owner of this impulse? Who takes control of this powerful energy? The personality. That's why we said last week, Aries is the beginning of developing personality. Now, if you do not have personality, what it means you do not have personality? Have you met somebody that doesn't have personality? A lot. What is not having personality? Not character. And what makes a person have a character? What makes a person to have a character? What a person that doesn't have no character? Only one thing. Look at your habits. Your habits define your personality and character. Look at your habit. And if you do not recognize what habit, I don't have no habit. Look at what kind of a friend you have. At least look at your friend's habit, because you got the same. And then you will recognize what character you have. And that character has the first opportunity to grab this energy. So it ends up that your lack of personality that hasn't had chance really to build any good character and good habit receives tremendous amount of energy. Now we are talking Aries that is developing. Aries develops and comes to a conclusion that has to organize himself or herself, has to conserve energy, has to find more compassion, has to cancel more, has to be the lamb of the creation, recognize that he is a rusher, works on an impulse, he is a reactive energy. Recognize that. Recognize the weakness. Recognize the weakness. Recognize how much you are lacking. And as soon as you recognize that you have the lack, now you have a purpose. Until you don't recognize your weakness, and how am I going to really check out myself? Look three things within yourself. How much faith you have. Not on a wishy-washy basis. Yeah, I believe in God. It's not a matter of belief. Belief is not faith. Faith is when you established a knowledge, established knowledge, your own knowledge, and you are capable to go above your own knowledge, above your knowledge, not your knowledge, above your knowledge. And that knowledge should be based on the emet. That means to go and stand on emet. That's when you have faith. Oh, check out. Check from the Aries how much faith you have. How much you are ready to go through all the pain of life. And you say, no, all these things is going to make me stronger. Sameach b'chelko, I am happy to my portion. And I shall continue and fight. And keep a good smile, a true smile, and a joy in your heart. That's when you tapped into simcha. That's where you tapped into teshuvah. That's the time you tapped into returning to your godliness. That's the faith. Second. You're not here to suffer. And you're not a donkey. I am not a donkey. I'm not supposed. It's not. I can work all my life and then go back empty-handed. It's not how hard you work. It's not. It's how honestly, truly you work. It's not the quantity. It's the quality. So how much love and compassion you put in your work. What kavanah you put in your life? What is the direction of your life? What is the purpose? Do you know your purpose of life? Or you as a nonchalant, you go through day by day. Okay, let's take a day at a time. Bravo. Everybody goes through the process of maturity. We are a baby when we are born. And we are not perfect, and we shall not in this body be perfect. But the conclusion is not to become to reach perfection. No such a thing, perfection. Always I will lack knowledge. Always, no matter how smart I will be, like Shlomo, still I will lack knowledge. So I will not ever be complete, and this is not the purpose that God to see that how smart I am and how capable I am in the mind department. God wants to see how good you are in your heart department, how much feeling you put in your honesty and truth and your work. Not that you know that at the end of the day you get paid. So, you know what? Let's enjoy it and walk the walk. Now, every step you take, check yourself with how much pleasure you do it. Because if you don't have pleasure in your life, you're going to get old. You're going to die prematurely. If you don't have pleasure in your life, but what kind of a pleasure? There's only one pleasure. Something that I did not understand last year from Torah, I understand this year. That's the only pleasure. I gave you the whole paper of Simcha, what Simcha is. Simcha, only Simcha, joy, bring me a pleasure. If there is no joy in my heart, it can be pleasure. Simcha is the seed of pleasure. Every time you know, that's where you got a tremendous amount of zest of pleasure. The third is check at yourself how much willpower you have. How much you are really able to tell yourself no. Really no. How much you are capable to love deal, that means to separate. Because 90% of correcting sickness is to recognize what is the sickness. And when you recognize what is making you sick, you better avoid it. And if you don't avoid it, if you don't, you're not able to avoid it, you don't have willpower. So check out these three departments and see how weak you are, how far. And when you look at this, really go within yourself, you will recognize how far you are, how weak we are. And that's the time that I have to come and check the balance. So, okay, I want to bring this knowledge. I have to bring ahava v'yirah within myself, the awe, looking at the creation in details and in totality, and then go into the state of awe and the state of ahava and start bringing balance. And go through the what? Rachamim. Ask from God, God, you know, I know this character. I understand what I haven't done and what I have to do, but it's not easy. And he comes, he says, yes, I know, it's not easy. So what do you need? That's the time that as soon as he says, and I realize I need, I can pray. I can meditate. I will ask a help. And that's rachamim. And what is rachamim? Nothing but God, give me time and help me along. That's rachamim, that's mercy. But I will get only to the state of mercy when I go through this ma'arechet, this section. This free will that God gives us is to, when we get this, when there is an action, there is an equal opposite reaction. We are in the world of action and reaction. We are in the world of cause and effect. There is a cosmic law. There is the energy that controls. I cannot fight this nature. I am in the world of reward of punishment. Really, the creation looks at me as an animal. Until I prove for myself that I am not an animal. Because if I act and behave like an animal, I am going to be answered and judged like an animal. The only thing that makes me to be not animal, to exercise the free will in the correct way. To recognize that my life, at myself, and my attitude with Yir'ah of having a fear of doing something, saying something, acting to put me further from God. So therefore I become the lamb of Yitzchak. That means totally submit myself to God. Give my head, say, take it. That means I walk your walk, I go your way. And at the same time, compassion and ahava of Abraham. And as soon as I have these forces, accept these facts in my life, that I behave like Abraham, and I restrain like Yitzchak, then God will connect me to an energy called Rachamim. And that's why Eris requires to do the coordination, the compilation. You cared and you depended on opinion of others. That's what happened to Korach. Korach was the impulse. The Korach that we going to study this Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem. He had everything. Every kind of a power, knowledge and mind. And he received the impulse, and it took him a second. Because his wife came and he says, look, what's the matter with you? You are so rich, you are so handsome, you are so smart. And look what they have done to your face. They shaved your face and they made you nobody. And he cared for the opinion. And he went after something that didn't belong to him. And he lost everything that he had. That's the story of Korach. Korach was the son. They were four brothers, children of Levi. Moshe was of Amram, and Korach was of Kehati. That means they are cousins. And Korach came and says, hey, what's the matter? All the royalty runs in your family. You made your brother Kohen Gadol, your sister a prophet. You yourself became king in Israel. What's the matter? What about me? You didn't even make me the head of my own family. You made my younger person to be the head of the family. Why Lahavdil? Where is the fairness in here? He asked for fairness, not recognizing that it was God's decision to take Aharon to become Kohen Gadol. That's it. That's the law. He chose. Why? I don't know. But he made the decision. And I have to understand as the heiress this. It's God's word. It's God-given impulse. This move, this energy is not mine. I have to recognize it. And I have to subdue it. I have to subjugate it under a good character, not under personality, selfish, egoistic personality. Because then I see everybody through my eyes. And we never judge ourselves and criticize ourselves. Eris never criticizes himself. Criticize myself for what? What's wrong with me? That attitude brings the insensitiveness. I lose the sensitivity. I think that I am kind, but I calculate if I do this kindness, how much profit do I get? There is not a thing Eris does unless first calculates the profit. Does it pay? Or not? Out of kindness.
I have a question.
Hold on. Let me go a little bit further. Eris has, and it's Tikkun of Eris, and by studying the Libra we will understand more, really Tikkun of Eris, and by the way, Tikkun of Libra is understanding Aries, because they are two opposites. They are two sides of the same coin. And you are lucky, not that you marry your soulmate. It's a mistake. Doesn't pay to marry a soulmate. It's a wrong proposition to look for a soulmate. But look for the other side of the coin. Your coin. Because then you will be a coin. Then you will really learn. If you are looking for a soulmate, that means you already decided that you made all your correction and you are worthy to receive your soulmate. That's the Aries in you. You think you are somebody. You made it. Now, look for the challenges of your life that gives you strength. The only way that you will find the strength is to recognize the weaknesses within you and work on them. The only way that you will recognize your weaknesses, look at your opposite side. Look at your reflection. Look at your mirror image. Because that's what you were. You couldn't handle it. You were brought into the opposite position to learn the truth. And that shall continue until such a time. And if you do not, the signs will change. But in extreme measures. Therefore, really in Kabbalah tells us that in order to give confidence to yourself, true confidence, because what's the purpose? It's to reach to a point of confidence. That means I will be victorious in all my war. If I go to any war and I do not have confidence, be sure you will lose. If you don't have confidence, you will lose. Now, how am I going to get confidence? Truly confidence, not superficial confidence. Not stand in front of everybody and dominate and show that I am a bully and I'm capable and I'm strong and I have a lot of energy. Really don't give much attention to what people think of you.
When you do it unconditionally.
A fool does unconditionally.
Why?
Because you subjugate yourself and submit yourself only to God and truth and nobody else. Nobody else. You don't bow to nobody else. You don't bring your head down to nobody else.
I think when you challenge yourself.
That you can do as much as you want. As long as you don't break yourself. Because if you do that, you broke something that's not yours. God gave you your vessel of receiving. You are a vessel of receiving. You do not have the right to break it. You utilize it, but you don't break it. Let's go. And let's go some questions so I can relax your mind. Hold on, I'll get you now. Be second time, it's okay. You see?
So
that's the name of the game.
So, but didn't Jews used to stone each other before? As, you know, like, let's say if someone did something wrong or whatever. So wouldn't that be the same thing as...
Your question is not clear. There is a lot of movement. Let everybody relax a little bit and then...
Can I...
Yes, hold on. Patient. I tell you, there is... No, she's not. The only way, and this is what really Tikkun of Aries is, the only way that you can go to the seed level, that means to go to past, which is the seed level, and meditate and recognize how much you have or not have ratzon, ta'anug, and emunah in your life, is when you exercise tremendous amount of patience. If you're not patient, you will never reach this destination. That's tikkun of eris. It's to be patient tremendously. Now, ask your question again, but this time, think. You want more time?
Then we have a right, you know, to execute. But they were stoning people back then, and how do they have a right to do that? How do they have a right to judge over someone else?
Okay. You are mixing two things, mixing the law of Torah and exercising the law of Torah together. There is a law in the Torah, for example, and in this parasha, that if somebody makes a Chilul Shabbat, that's the in our parasha, and they did, somebody went on Saturday and started doing things that he's not supposed to do on Shabbat, Moshe, they brought him to Moshe. Moshe went to Hashem, and Hashem said, Hashem, what am I supposed to do here? He didn't know the law. He knew the law. But he didn't make the decision. That means the law that is in Torah is not up to you to exercise. It's God's law. That means God exercised. And for your information, in the history of Judaism, never stoning was exercised. In Hollywood, many times was exercised.
So is it against the law to murder, like, you know, to execute?
Absolutely, that's the murder.
So why did Israel execute
that? Only one.
It's one.
Yes.
What put them?
Absolutely agree with you. But for sake of majority, what was the sake of majority? The totality of the Judaism was on a turmoil. They didn't want this guy to go. That means they would have risen against the government. Now, L'shem Shammai, because a soldier goes to the war, has to do it. But literally, the judges in Israel never gave the order for execution. And we don't have capital punishment. Though the Torah specifically said, if you kill, you got to get killed. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But that's God's judgment. And he's the executor and he's the judge. I cannot. I do not have the understanding of God. Your question.
Our question.
Coming to you.
About impulses. You were talking about impulses. And my question.
Which? Say that again.
Impulses.
Impulse. Yes. It's, by the way, it's in your brain. The electricity is transferred to your heart for action, and that's quick.
Yeah, and I do believe that I'm doing it not on behalf of myself. I'm doing it for some other good reason. I know that it's fair to do. I know it's right to do. And I'm doing it, and it doesn't work. And how the question is, how to recognize the impulse, if it's from God, is it from
same problem as the first one that you expressed. I'll tell you what. We do not, the nature of man is, will not move a blink an eye if first not consider how much pleasure and profit is in it. This is our nature. How much do I get pleasure out of blinking my eye, raising my hand, doing a favor to someone, even going out of my way, literally put myself in pain to do good for someone more holy than this, I considered, what benefit do I get out of it? I want to send my son to become a doctor and a famous doctor, and I train him to be a good doctor, and he be, you, why? Because I want him to do good and give health to people and heal people, etc., etc. Why do I want my son to become a doctor? Because, what your son is doing? He's a doctor. It feels good. That's my prophet. So don't disregard and don't accept that you always look for a prophet. First accept. Don't glorify yourself. Don't give yourself medals that you are different than anybody else. Naturally, you are here to receive and to have pleasure. God gave you by nature a nature of receiving and having pleasure. This is God gave you. Now, tell me, is God gives you anything defected? No, God gave you a desire to receive par excellence. And you exercising it par excellence.
What is a par excellence?
That means cannot be better. Excellent. God didn't give you half good. Gave you perfect desire to receive. Ratzon lekabel. That's God given gift to us. Now, what we have to do is to take this ratzon lekabel, desire to receive, and I am going to be continuously desire to receive. I am made to receive. That's the only way I will have pleasure, but for sake of wrong. Now, that's another fallacy that is running in our society. You made $1 million? Share your $1 million. Why? Who says so? God says so. You know, here it is in the book of Zohar says so. That's a fallacy. That's a lie. That is really cheating. Not I didn't use the word. I used the word. And what's the truth? What's the truth? Exactly. First, when you get to a conclusion that you got an impulse, you better check it out, that what this impulse, this conclusion, this holy act that you want to do for sake of humanity and save the humanity based on truth. First, this check. And if you lack in the department of faith and ta'anug and ratzon, if you lack any one of them, for sure the foundation is wishy-washy. Because first you have to fix that department. But it's not desire to share, but ratzon, desire to lahashbiya, to be a cause. Of what? Lasod nachad ruach layotzri. That means to do with this impulse, this energy that I receive. I am a desire to receive. To take this for sake of bringing satisfaction to my creation. To my creator. Forget about sharing business. Really forget it. That's a very good way of making money. Because the Torah says 10% of whatever you make, give to God. And you know, God chose me as an ambassador. Would you please share? No. It is the fact that I am to receive, and I am to receive with that energy to be, to do, to say, to act, only for sake of getting closer to Hashem, to Creator. To be a cause of doing goods and things that brings me closer to Him, to the light, to the source of energy. Please.
I have a question about motives. Something that always is...
Good word.
And regardless of their motive, many of these organizations need to run off of money, and the only way that they can perform their cause is based on the money that they are receiving. So where exactly does the motive of a philanthropist fall in with impulse and willpower and giving and
very good.
Sharing?
Very good. Let me make it simple, what you are saying. How can I work on motivation, my motives to be good motives? Because if I come and I say, oh, they come and say, we need a hospital. We need a university. How much money do you need? $10 million. Okay, I can help you. But please, don't forget, by the door, write my name, my wife's name, and my son and my grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, and make sure you write it in gold. That money is not worth a penny. Yes, the university will be built. Yes, the hospital will be built. But because the pension is not good, it's not going to survive.
Even if taking not a university, how about
hospital?
Or whatever it may be, but the amount of people that are being held within it is what I'm, you know. The truth is, this is, you know, capitalistic society. If things are run based on money, not much can be achieved without money. This is my first time being in this class. I think you're amazing because you're willing to give without there's no monetary transaction, if you will. There's not a middle tie. But it's hard because you find that it is a necessity because there is no, it's hard to build the foundation while it is on empty.
Absolutely, I agree. There is a concept in Kabbalah in nature called katnut, that means to be young, immature, and reach maturity. There is a distance, an evolution. Really, literally, you evolve to come from immaturity to maturity. We are going through phase of process of maturity. Yes, slowly, slowly, motivations are become. There are people that they help without anybody know who helped. There are a lot of foundations that are kept at the highest level, and nobody knows who is really feeding the corporation. And we are evolving. But let me give really a food for thought for all of you. Everybody in this country cheats the government. Everybody. There is not a person, being young or old, that does not cheat the government. And who do you think made the government? Bravo. Don't forget it. For as long as we do not fight this idea of, I want the better part of the pie. I want to get the I aspect, the I am. As long as we don't bring that maturity that this is the lamb of sacrifice, this is where I only do it for sake of getting closer to the truth. That's a process. We will have war. The children will go to war. It's not easy a mother to lose a child. And I don't care a soldier or a non-soldier. The soldier is as much as the right to exist and be a son and a father than a non-soldier. There shouldn't be a war, but there is. The fact is, you have to go to war. Israel doesn't have, I can come and say Israel really doesn't want to have war with anybody. He wants to have peace, but they don't, seven countries around him, they don't let him be. But I don't look inside the Israel. I don't look at the inside the Jew that hasn't matured enough. A Jew is not the Jew that God defines what the Jew is. A Jew acts as a Jew that he wants to be. Not the definition of a God. His own made, man-made definition. And as long as I run a country based on my concept of understanding of Judaism, I have to go to war. I have to fight the Yabusi and Garshi. I have to fight exactly with seven klipot energy of ugliness. So does America. So does every other world. As long as there is a consciousness of selfishness, how I can cheat and make more.
So you should have this consciousness of selfishness.
Patiently. I'm here for you. That's good. That's good.
So you should have consciousness of selfishness, right?
No. You have the consciousness of yourself for betterment and closeness of to Hashem.
I just try to understand a little bit what you're saying and what you're talking about. There is someone know what is the way of God you're talking about?
Yes.
There is someone?
Yes.
Human beings?
Yes.
Can I meet them?
Yes. My name is Joseph Malamud. You ask for it.
This is just the beginning.
And that one was for free. I love it. Yes, please.
Do you have the obligation of teaching your children if you find the character is in a wrong way to bring him to the right character?
A father asks whether a father has the right, and you're asking about a father and mother, right?
Correct.
Parents. That has the right to teach his son or his daughter and tell and seize of character in default. Character in default, you direct the son or the daughter to change the character. Absolutely, to his dying death. And never should stop. That's God-given right. That's a responsibility. I have to do it no matter how much he doesn't like to hear it. I gotta say it. But I gotta say it with the compassion. And with the smart, say it at the right time, at the right place, so I can be the most effective. That knowledge I have to acquire. I cannot send my son to get educated about Judaism and then I be ignorant about Judaism. And then tell him how the Jew should act. It won't work. That's an example. It is not an analogy. Bezrat Hashem. Yes.
You say you have to do a good cause to get closer to God.
Right.
Not for fame or having my name.
Now,
hold
on. Gotcha. In spirituality, similarity attracts. Dissimilarity repels. Okay? When I say L'Hashem Yichud, that means to become united with the force of Hashem. That means I will do the effort. He's unchangeable. He doesn't change. He was, he is, he will be. He's the truth. He can't change. The only thing is for me to change and evolve and go through a process of become more similar to his characteristic. Because I am. My personality is my characters, my habits. The more my midot, my characters, become more similar to the Creator, I become united more with him. I don't do it because my heart is broken. Yes, my heart is broken and only light comes out of a broken heart. Only. A heart that is not broken doesn't have no idea what compassion is. And I do it and I help without any reservation for only one reason. Because God is Tov and Mativ. Because he gives. Because he does good. I do the good. Not because that somebody comes and pat my back. I do the good because that makes me similar to God. And therefore, similarity attracts. I become closer. The more I accept his midot, because I will not know him. The only way I will know him if I know his character, his wisdom, his knowledge. I read his book. And in return, I affect myself to do things, to act and behave and find characters that brings me closer to the light of Hashem. Did I explain myself? Okay. Let me see if everybody has the question, and then I will go on the repeats. But really, fairness is this nice friend of mine sitting here. Yes, please, go ahead. I'll come to you, Olga.
If the privilege we're talking about today to learn and a little bit of the Kabbalah, and it's just for Jewish
No. It can be just any human. No, knowledge is for the whole world. It is the Jew responsibility. It's absolutely the Jew responsibility to be so knowledgeable, to be a good example and teach the world. Teach the world. I have to be the best example God created in knowledge, in behavior, in attitude, in living, in speaking, in existence. And that's extremely hard job. For that, he gave me 613 exercises. For that, he gave me his wisdom to carry it. It's not a book for me to put in my library and be proud that I have a Torah in my home. It's a book that gives me the tour of creation and existence and continuity. For a Jew, we accept it. Chuvah means I must. It's obligation. But this obligation is to myself, to my neshama. It's not to God. God doesn't need my obligation. What God wants from me is to be honest and really honest and good to myself. To do good for myself. Not to take wrong ideas for myself. Korach took wrong idea. He took a wrong idea with all his smart and Torah. He took the wrong idea. And God, that's what he wants me. He wants, and then I accept it as an obligation. But at first it is zuchut, it's Natan Torah. Natan Torah is a matana. It's a matana. One more question. Don't go away. I have something for you. I have two more questions. I will go through it. Now, I have two beautiful ladies here, that God bless them, b'zuchut of the Torah that we studied today. I wish for both of you good health, good wealth, and many sweet fruits. Because they honestly went through a tremendous amount of time. I only know how much time it took to really do this job. And I appreciate, I thank you both. First, I like to look at it. Second, I have to make more copies, and those who are consistent and will be here next week will get those copies. Honestly, the totality of astrology is simply summarized in two pages. The more we know about those pages, we understand the seed, the DNA of creation more and more. Olga, let's go first, and then we go to Donna. Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay.
Take a step back. Water is good, but too much water kills you. Fire is good, yes, but uncontrolled fire destroys. Balance. The whole point is honestly to come to the line of a balance. This is the middle point. But I cannot create this balance unless I have the two sides. We're going to study this balance. When there is a lack of knowledge within me, I ask, where is the balance? Where is the edge? That's why God gave us the Torah. Torah is absolute line of the balance. Absolute. For us to reach that balance is extremely hard. And God knows it. But God really wants to know in your heart how much effort you put into it. That's the motive. That's what's important. How much effort you put into it, and with how much joy you put this effort. Do you put it with nagging, complaining, and being negative? Or you put it because you put it with joy and you accept the toil? Then you're right. Then you will benefit. Then you will know. Then you need only to raise your feet, and God will create the roads and put the right road under your feet. He can do it. It's up to you to raise it. When he sees that your motivation and your effort is good, he will turn the whole roads and the world and puts the right road under your feet. Donna. That's right.
Okay, so how can you be certain what is yours to take and what's not?
Very good question again. Now, my shadow. Is it my shadow? Is it mine? No, I am his. Remember that. When I go after him, he goes away. When I walk away, he comes after me. What it is yours, nobody else can take, and only is yours. As the moment that you go into a fear that somebody else is going to take mine, you're lost again. But if you have the confidence that what is yours, nobody will take, and when you are ready, it will be given to you in a silver platter. Literally. I'm telling you, literally. How much smart we are. We create, we make money, and we think we've done it all. In a second, it takes it away. And sometimes, just like from Shammai, they bring a silver platter to you. Do your work. Put the foundation of your life on the truth. And have the confidence. Nobody will take what's yours. Can't. Because Zohar says, if you go after something that is not yours, and that's a very harsh proposition, not only you will not get it, you will lose what you got. Now, who wants to deal with that? Nobody. Temptation.